be dead.
Okay, that's a pretty poignant point. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bob, have you got a quick point to make?
Yes, Anne. I think that when we speak about animal rights, we have to recognize that rights go hand in hand with freedom of choice and with responsibility, and that these are two things in animals, regardless of how strenuously one may argue to the contrary, they're just incapable of doing this. Animals cannot recognize things like rational self-interest, choice, or responsibility. And I really have to question Michael's statement. He says, you know, definitely his feelings on this subject are very moralistic, but one has to question what his standard of morals must be if he equates animal life with human life. Surely there must be some standard of morality that he can apply to his own life.
All right, Bob, do you want to reply to that quickly, Michael?
Well, of course. I think I stated at the beginning of the program, and that is it's a moral feeling for all living things, and the biggest fact is that the animals cannot speak for themselves. Even in the third world nations and a place like Africa, where we're taking away their own domain, we're not asking them, can we come in and build a few houses and graze a few cows on your territory to the elephants or to tigers? We're just going ahead and doing it.
Well, somebody's... animals don't do that with each other either, Michael. I don't understand why you're imposing an obligation on human beings that animals don't recognize. Surely you must therefore see that animals are not equal to humans in this respect.
They're very equal. The animals don't take our territory. The animals aren't out there polluting. The animals aren't causing war. The animals aren't producing acid rain. We are.
You know, you're picking a few weaknesses in human beings, things that perhaps we have yet to learn over history. But you've got to understand, hierarchy among animals is determined solely by force.
All right, Bob, got to leave it there. Sorry,
okay.
We're out of time.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a quick break here, come back with final points from both of my guests this morning. This is obviously something that you as an individual citizen have decided is important to advocate.
Yes, okay. I have. I've decided because I see it as a social threat. And I see that we are talking about a minority. We're talking about people with a radical mindset. And they're out to achieve their way. And if that way means violence, blowing up laboratories, cutting brake lines, sit-ins, stage-ins, intimidation.
Yeah,
they're
but you know that
it.
There are a lot of animal rights people who don't advocate violence, and I don't think it's fair to say they all do. That's,
no,
yeah.
Some don't.
Yeah.
But they are
many
all
don't.
Tarred with the same brush, and they all deny each other, but if you read their publications, they plug into each other. We have a right to a future. Our children have a right to a future. Our past is tied to biomedical research. Our future is tied to biomedical research. The silent majority has to take a stand and say, we have a concern, and we are going to walk with that concern, and we're going to be heard, and we're going to recruit, and we're going to let the biomedical researchers get on with the job they do so well, and that's develop a quality of life that we all benefit from.
Thank you. Michael?
Ron, if our biomedical researchers were doing so well, the incidence of infant mortality and deformity would not be on the increase. You know, we had women's rights, they were in the minority, and I think the animal rights groups such as our own, which does not believe in violence, does not believe in destruction. We believe in providing information and telling people where they can get information if they don't want to listen to us. And what we are designed to do is get that information out. We were the silent majority for so long. Maybe the radicals who broke into labs were not the silent, but the ones who came out and did the research to get the information out to the public, they were silent until now, and I think that's one reason that your organization was formed, because we were silent and we're not any longer. If people don't want to listen to me, go to your library, take a look where I get a fair bit of my information, and that is the New England Journal of Medicine. Use your librarian will help you. Use your periodical index. Look up a subject you want to learn about. Look at what the medical profession is saying, and look how they will agree with a lot of what I've been saying this morning. You'll be surprised.
Thank you both for being here. Michael Schwab from CVAR, Canadian Vegans for Animal Rights. Appreciate you taking the long trip from Toronto to be here. Thank you.
Pleasure.
And Ron Calhoun of Partners in Research. Your organization is active here in London.
And provincially,
I thank you for taking the time to be here this morning.
Thank you.
Good job to both of you.